If you're sitting here today or maybe listening online, know that it is not of condemnation or conviction that I bring these questions and reminders to you, but it is because the times are coming so fast and so hard in these days that it seems as though we get up, we go to bed, and what happened in between is just a blur. The rapture is just over the horizon, and behind that will come the tribulation, and then today's hard times will be begged for, as they will appear a once simpler day. For some time now, it has been on my heart the condition of the Lord's church, and the separation within her by souls that should be united. Rather than being just that, within her body is the sickness of the world, its mindset and its fear of acceptance or rejection. It's a fear that has entered into the midst of the church's people, and from it a silence has arisen as cries cover the land and a quiet covers the church. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, "But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit through belief in truth." God chose you to be saved. Saved through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. And He comes to you through your belief in truth as to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What has been asked of you but to reveal yourself at the foot of the cross to Him and believe in and on Him and the name given Him? Why do you think that something so simple is actually so hard for us to do? The Lord is calling us to move and to act. He has been calling His church since its inception, and through His guidance and direction, through His word, you can connect with Him what He is guiding you to or He is asking you to do. Question is, will you refuse Him? Will you pretend that you did not hear Him or don't understand what He is asking of you, asking you to do? We ask ourselves these questions. We each need to remind ourselves that He knows our hearts. He knows why you or I will or won't answer Him. He knows if we will do what He has asked of us. He knows what our priorities are, where we have placed our love for Him on our list of things to do. These things I bring up to you, these questions raised, are in and from everyday moments. They are every opportunity given each of us every day. They are every day fresh in the morning and full of hope for the day and bring peace and rest when the night closes in. In Ephesians 4:1-3, Paul writes, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." This is a resounding bell and a sounding gong. It is our confirmation as to the need of our participation in our commitment to the Lord. This will show the fruit that we are capable of producing through the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Unity and peace, these are strengths that come from God. We know how hard it gets living with one another sometimes, and yet with the Spirit within us, we are able to accomplish what the world tells us is impossible. While it is so busy tearing down what God has created, we have a calling on us to live with real love, first towards God, then towards one another. And so how does the world look at the children of God? Well, it looks at them as though they are obstacles in the way of its agenda. One could say that there is truth to this. True righteousness will stand in the way of the ungodly and will fight for the widow, the orphan, and the defenseless. It will stand and persevere when truth is assailed, and it will stand the test of time. It is written in Colossians 1, "And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I know many are tired. The political season has not taken a break since the close of the last election, and the prices of goods are going places where many of the basics are out of reach for far too many. And living paycheck to paycheck has become the norm, and there is no end in sight as to the deception being imposed upon the people both inside and outside of the church. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you." You see, Jesus knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knew Peter would fall the night of his arrest, and yet he said to Peter, "On this rock I will build my church." Peter would be known as a man with many notable points of character. He was impulsive, found to be tender-hearted and affectionate. He sometimes had trouble understanding deeper truths. He was courageous and cowardly. He was found immovable in his convictions. He failed miserably the Lord in his time of crisis and was the only disciple to deny the Lord, and yet he was restored and recommissioned by the Lord to be the servant and the leader that he was meant to be. You see, Peter did so many things wrong, but he did even more right when he got his bearings and he understood what his mission in life was to be. In Mark 8, Jesus said, "Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and he said, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." This is no time to be afraid. There are calls to action that will come upon us when we seem the least prepared. But Peter did something in his day that we can do today, and with ease. We simply have to make a choice to do so. You see, Peter walked with the Lord every day, taking meals, sleeping where they could find shelter, ministering to people and listening and watching, learning, so that when opportunity presented itself in whatever shape or form, he was ready. Ready to stand for what he believed, and his strength was built on that faith and on that conviction. And so by gaining strength, by gaining insight, searching for understanding, by studying under Jesus, he was with the Lord in all kinds of circumstances, and he learned to walk in the ways of the Lord. We are afforded that same opportunity through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, that same relationship, if we will but get up and follow him as the disciples did. This warning is one of many to the soul that would choose to have one foot on each side of the fence, to the person who holds too tightly to the things of this world, who has deceived themselves into believing that they are something that they are not. It's a dangerous game to play, hoping that you've done just enough to guarantee that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and then forgetting what is spoken of often and clearly as to our salvation, that it is a combination of faith and works. It's our call for participation. You see, a person's attitude about what they believe will be revealed in what they do. And unfortunately, the days are long past when a man's word stood firmly, and like God, he would do what he said. The verses in Mark 8 that we just heard, they're a warning to that person who is indecisive about which way they would go. One then has to wonder as to what it is that that person feels that they have been called to. The Laodicean church was filled with people who would not walk away from a comfortable life in the world. They held on to the belief that they had somehow given themselves into a covenant with the church. The Lord had become a side thought. And now they were being told that because they were neither cold nor hot, but lukewarm, that Jesus would spit them out of his mouth. They would be cast aside. You see, the issues of our day would not have been conceivable 50 years ago. And here we are yet today with each acceptance of those things that we suppose bring pleasure to us. If we will listen, we will hear more and more the cries of the broken rising in the night out of them. You see, a life that is worthy of living is a life that has Christ Jesus guiding it. Don't ignore his call in your life. Come willing and come wanting to know him, to see how amazing he is, to find the peace that the world can't offer you, and then rest, even on those days that are so tiring and wearisome. Remember, Jesus is the way. He is the truth and he is the life. Won't you come and live?